You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
SOEs seem to be the flavor of the day once again, and this time we're not looking at Eskom, we're looking at Transnet, because a Danish operator by the name of AP Moller Maersk has approached the courts in an urgent application to prevent the company known as the International Container Terminal Services, that is the ICTSI, from taking over the privatization or from assuming the roles of the appointment that they received. That is a Philippines-based company, obviously, that was awarded the contract to operate some of Transnet's ports privately. I'm joined on the line by Glenn Robbins, who's an independent developmental economist, to take a look at this and just try and unpack this. Good evening, Glenn. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the application that's gone through at the moment from Maersk's perspective. What are they looking to challenge where it relates to this appointment?
Good evening. They are raising concerns that the process that has been followed was one that they felt had some flaws, and so they effectively going to ask for the process for between Transnet and ICTSI to be halted and ultimately to have that reviewed in a court of law to determine whether or not the flaws that APM determine or suggest were there were in fact there, and then whether or not the process would need to be reconsidered or reopened for adjudication a second time.
Glenn, obviously, a company wouldn't just launch into something like this if it wasn't of material interest. How much are we talking about here? What is at stake from a South African perspective in terms of this Pier 2 port itself, and how much volume travels through there and how significant this is in our ecosystem?
Well, so the Durban Container Terminal Pier 2 is the largest single container terminal in Transnet's system of 9 commercial ports, and it handles the majority of import and export containers in the country. It's obviously the largest container handling port in the Port of Durban, which handles around about 60% of total containers in the country, with Pier 2 handling the biggest chunk of those. And I mean, it's of significance because really for around about a decade, there have been serious questions asked about the efficiency and investment choices that Transnet made with respect to the its operations generally, but specifically in containers. And we've seen numerous incidents in the last few years, some of them perhaps related to external events like the Durban floods, where the performance of the terminals has been of considerable concern to importers and exporters. And effectively, the status of Durban as a container port terminal has been in kind of decline for a number of years, and was recently ranked as amongst the worst performing container terminal ports in the world, which is obviously a great problem for a country that's very far away from markets, that is very dependent on trade. So incredibly significant asset in the country's economy.
Now, Glenn, Transnet is opposing Maersk's application from their perspective. The company that hasn't said too much here is the ICTSI from the Philippines. They've said that it's a legal thing, they don't want to comment on it and all of that, but let's look at what this actually means for a company like ICTSI. This transaction would represent 13% of their global volumes if they get this through. So clearly that is a significant part of their business interests that they get this deal as it stands. But why would Transnet want to oppose such an application if a company like Maersk is already suggesting that this application will not significantly delay this process?
Well, I mean, obviously, Transnet feel confident that the procedure that they followed was an appropriate one, I mean, it's taken quite a bit of time to get us to this point. They don't want to have the process reset for them to then have to begin kind of adjudicating this matter all over again. From the side of ICTSI, I mean, generally, it's worth noting that globally, these big global port operating companies, and there are a handful of them that are incredibly ambitious in being able to, or in seeking to kind of extend their influence across the kind of global port system. APM is one of them. ICTSI is a relatively new player on the block, and have been very aggressive growing into, I suppose, very much developing country markets, often smaller terminals in countries that have perhaps been bypassed by some of the big global players. But, you know, originally AP Moller, ICTSI, COSCO, the big Chinese port company, DP World from Dubai, and a handful of others all expressed interest in and put in proposals in relation to this 25-year, effectively as a kind of a concession, a joint venture for the Pier DCT Terminal 2. And, you know, they're quite used to contesting with one another in the kind of global market for control over container terminal arrangements. It's incredibly, well, there's an incredible amount of rivalry between these players, but because of the fact that they're able to utilize their presence across many global ports to optimize operations, and generally they are quite profitable operations to be able to run container terminals in different parts of the world.
Glenn, let's look at the significant. Well, let's look at what this actually then does for Transnet at the moment. The Transnet ecosystem has been under a lot of strain in various points as well, whether it's the Transnet Ports Authority or whether it's the Transnet Freight Rail System. Transnet as a whole has had a myriad of problems. The whole point of the privatization initially was to take some of the pressure off, as well as introduce some alternatives that would optimize what we currently have in terms of maintenance and operations and ability to deliver things from port to port. If we look at the current situation, where do we think Transnet sits, or Transnet Port Authority in particular, where do we think they sit on the expansion of these private-public relationships on their side? Do they have the capacity to do it with other ports? And if so, do we think that this is a solution that we can implement across our other ports?
Well, certainly national government and President Ramaphosa has made this point, you know, fairly consistently, that they feel that there could be much greater private sector participation across all the activities of the SOEs, including in things like water and other utility arrangements too. And I think that these early attempts by Transnet in allowing user access to the rail network, talk of the concessions at in particular the Port of Durban, but a number of other ports have been noted as possibly being considered, are you have really been part of Transnet's sort of reform agenda to try and get them out of this crisis in relation to effectively all of their operations, barring perhaps the Transnet pipelines. So, you know, the movement towards greater private sector participation is very much one that is coming from government policy. and Transnet are really following that order really from the shareholder to explore different options and to test the waters, so to speak. So this isn't it's by no means a full privatization. The ownership remains of the assets remains public. All assets revert back to Transnet after the 25-year arrangement has gone through. And it's got kind of a joint venture flavor where both parties to the contract, Transnet and the awarded contracting partner, and at the moment ICTSI, would invest and collectively look at how best to manage and operationalize the facility. And I think, I mean, the thinking behind that is that most people who've assessed the state of our ports would say that we probably 10 to 15 years behind in systems of port management of the kinds of technology that we operate, as well as the overall integration of our ports into our wider logistics systems. Despite the sort of big promises that were made as part of the strategic infrastructure projects under President Zuma, not much actually happened, and in fact the port system went backwards. So this is a way of Transnet hoping to kind of learn from international operators how to upgrade its entire system, but without making changes across its entire portfolio. So in a sense, it's creating an opportunity for Transnet to learn from some of the best international operators, and they can then begin to apply those learnings, at least that's the thinking, across other port terminals, other operations in their rail system, and in their general sort of management practices and the like. So that's the sort of the case that's been made. Whether Transnet's got the capability to do that is, I think, a lot of people would have quite serious questions. Transnet is an incredibly complex business. There are not many state-owned enterprises that would look like Transnet, running 9 commercial ports, plus a rail system, plus pipelines, doing both the landlord function, running terminals. It's a bit of an outlier globally. And most port systems, many of them remain in public ownership, but have reformed very differently. And for example, you'd see a much greater commitment to competition between ports, because there's a strong sense that you don't want to rely on a single port to perform, and for that to for the whole country to depend on the performance of that port. So you get countries like Canada and Australia, and that have all made an attempt to try and diversify capabilities across their ports, but also to have different stakeholders involved in running those ports, so that you get a degree of competition that can help stimulate better performance within the various ports that are there.
Diversification, but hopefully it's not too late. Thanks so much, Glenn. We'll leave it at that. Glenn Robbins, who is an independent developmental economist, joining me to unpack the latest developments out of Transnet.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.